Today's daf is Sukkah daf Yud Aleph, and we are at the Mishnah in the middle of daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Rafu Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, and Moshe Abba ben Devorah. Today's daf is also being learned for Ilui Nishmas Avram ben Reb Moshe Chaim. Zok the Mishnah, continuing to discuss the halachos of a Sukkah. Hidlo Oleo es hagefen ve es hadalas ve es hakisus. If somebody took a grapevine, gourd, or ivy, the point is these three things are attached to the ground, and he was able to bend them over to put them on top of the sukkah. The sikech al gaba psula, the halacha is, the sukkah is going to be pasul. The point is, a gefen, delas, and kisus are all pasul schach. The reason they're pasul, Rashi says, is because they're attached to the ground. And something that's mechuba lekarka is not kosher schach. Says the Mishnah. Let's say this wasn't the only schach you had, but rather you had other schach, and the other schach were the majority of the schach, then it's going to be kosher. The reason is because we say that the schach pasul is batal beroiv to the schach kosher. This is not the first time we've seen this, but the laws of bittel beroiv meet the laws of sukkah, and as a result, it's going to be okay. Aisha kitzitzon, or if you cut the gefen, the delas, and the kisos off the ground, now it's no longer mechuber, now it's talut, it's detached from the ground. So again, ksheir, it's going to be kosher. Zeh klal. And then the Mishnah says, this is the rule as it relates to what the definition of schach kosher is. Kol shu mekabel tumah, anything that's mekabel tumah, anything that can become tame, or the ein gidulei min haaretz, it didn't grow from the ground, ein mesachachim bay, is not going to be kosher schach. The chol davar she'ein mekabel tumah, but anything that's not mekabel tumah, and the gidulei min haaretz, it grew from the ground, mesachachim bay, the halacha is, you're going to be able to use it as schach. In other words, in order for something to be kosher schach, you have to be able to check off two boxes. Number one, it's a davar she'ein mekabel tumah. Number two, it's v'giduloi min ha'aretz. If it's either mekabel tumo or en giduloi min ha'aretz, then the halach is it's going to be pasul schach. So just pasha, the way you read the Mishnah, kol shu mekabel tumo ve'en giduloi min ha'aretz, en mesachichim boy, ve'en means or. So if it's mekabel tumo or it's not giduloi min ha'aretz, that is pasul. The second line, you read it differently. V'chol dove she'en mekabel tumo v'giduloi min ha'aretz, the vav there doesn't mean or, it means and. Meaning you need both in order for it to be kosher. Either one of them missing would make it possible. But today's daf is going to discuss not the seif of the Mishnah. It's going to discuss the resh of the Mishnah. That is hidlo aleo es hagefen ves hadalas ves hakisos v'sikech al gavo psula. If someone took a gefen, dalas, and kisos, the significance is these things were attached to the ground. So let's just pick one, the grapevine. So you have a long grapevine that's attached to the ground. You schlep it, you yank it, you bend it. You put it on top of your sukkah. You have other schach there too. The halach is this schach in and of itself is pasul schach. So if you want to make it kosher, you want to have a kosher sukkah. So what do? So the Mishnah gave two ideas. One idea is if you have roiv schach kosher, bittel beroiv, it's going to be okay. Oy, shekitzitzon, or more pashut, if you would snip it, if you would cut it off the ground, then it would be kosher, because gefen itself is kosher schach. It's only when it's attached to the ground that it's a problem. So if you detach it, in that case, it's going to be okay. Zok the Gemara on that note. Yosef, Rav Yosef, came to Rav Huna. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna. V'yosef eka amar, and he said over the following, that when the Mishnah says, oy, shekitzitzon ksheiru, that if someone put a gefen, the las, or kisos, and he used that as schach, it's a problem. But the Mishnah gave two eitzes of how to make it kosher. One of them was shekitzitzah. So when the Mishnah gave the second eitzah, the plan B, when you snip it, in that case, it's good. V'omar Rav said, Rav Yosef, I'm going to tell you what Rav said. Tzorich l'naneya. It's not just kosher in and of itself. But what you need to do is, you have to pick the schach up and put it back down. Rashi says, every single piece of schach that was attached to the ground that you now detached, in order for it to be kosher, you would have to pick it up individually and put it back down. And the reason is, says Rashi, and this is really going to be the theme of the entire daf. So today's daf is not a tale of two sugyas or three sugyas, it's a tale of one sugya. And the sugya, Masechtas Sukkah daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, is the halacha of tasa v'loy mina asui. So it says in the Torah, chagas sukkos, tasalacha shivas yomim, ba'aspecha migarnecha umiyikvecha. And Chazal understood that from the words chagas sukkos, tasalacha, we learn that in order for a sukkah to be kosher, you need that at the time that you made the sukkah, it was already kosher. B'shas Asiya, it would have had to have been kosher. What is the definition of the Shas Asiya of a Sukkah? So from learning the first 10 daf of Masech the Sukkah, we're a little more educated already. We know Rashi said a few times on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and we've seen it since then, that the Ikar of a Sukkah is the Schach. So when you talk about Hilchas Sukkah, in almost all cases, we mean Schach. We don't mean the defanos of the sukkah. So when a sukkah has to be tzlasim ruba michimasa, it means based on the schach. If sun comes in from the walls, we don't really care. Because when we talk about sukkah, we're usually talking about the schach of the sukkah. We're not talking about the walls of the sukkah. So chaga sukkah's tasalacha means making the schach. Okay. Now what does it mean, tasa the schach? So it's going to be mavur in the sukkah. It means placing the schach on top of the sukkah. So chaga sukkah's tasa lecha really means take schach, put it on top of your sukkah. If there's a din of tasa v'lo min asli, which says that when you make the sukkah, it has to already be kosher. So what that means is that when you take the schach and you put it on top of your sukkah, you put it on top of the walls, at that point the schach would have had to have been kosher. That's a problem in our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah is talking about where someone took a gefen, a delas, and a kisos, and he used it as schach. Now when you put it on top of the sukkah, it was posel, because it was attached to the ground. So what did you do? Kitzitzon, you snipped it. Now it's talush already. That's a day late and a dollar short. The problem is you already put it on the sukkah. So when you placed it on top of the sukkah, when you did the tasa, it was posel. Now it's kosher, but tasa, v'loy mina asoy. You have to make it kosher. You can't make it and then later do something. So you will say, oh, retroactively, even though I made it, and when I made it, it was possible, but now it's kosher. Tasa v'lo mina asui says that when you make the sukkah, it has to be kosher. And again, it assumes a bunch of anachas in our Gemara. Number one, dasiyas ha-sukkah means the schach. Number two, it means putting the schach on top of the sukkah, which means at that point, it has to be kosher. And it wasn't kosher. So Rabbi Yosef told Rav Huna, I'm going to tell you what I heard from the Rebbe Rav. Rabbi Yosef and Rav Huna were both talmidim of Rav. So he said, I'm going to tell you what I heard from Rav. Rav said, tzarech l'naneh, that you can't just simply cut the gefen, the delas, and the kisos. You have to cut it, obviously, make it tallish. Now it's kosher schach. Pick it up and put it back down. It's like this, when you pick it up and you put it back down, the putting it back down is the chag asukas tasa, then your mekayim tasa v'lemin asli. That's when it's going to be okay. So Rav Huna heard what Rav Yosef said, and Amalei Rav Huna. So Rav Huna told Rav Yosef, he said, Rav Yosef, you're making a mistake. You just said that over in the name of Rav. Rav's not the one that said that. Hashmul Amra. Shmuel was the one that said that. Now, Rav Yosef and Rav Huna were talmidim of Rav, they were also talmidim of Shmuel. So Rav Huna told Rav Yosef, you're mixing up which one of the Rebbe said it. You didn't hear it from Rav, you heard it from Shmuel. So the Gemara said that when Rav Yosef heard what Rav Huna told him, Adrinu Rav Yosef la'api, Rav Yosef turned around, and Rashi throws in a word, Bekas. For Amalei, and he told him, Atu mikamin el chad l'yam Shmuel, did I say Shmuel didn't say it? Amr Rav, Amr Shmuel. Maybe Rav said it, and maybe Shmuel said it. Even though Rav and Shmuel usually argue in Shas, but there are many times that the Gemara says Rav and Shmuel the Amri Travayu, and probably they agreed on most things. So the point is, I never said Shmuel didn't say it. I said Rav said it, and maybe Shmuel said it too. Amalei Rafunus, Rafunus told Rav Yosef, you don't understand what I meant. What I meant to say was the Shmuel Amru Veloy Rav. I can tell you for a fact that Shmuel was the one that said this, and Rav was not the one that said that. How do I know that? The Rav Achshurei Machsher, because I know for a fact that Rav was of the opinion that there is no such din of what you just said, that in order to make the schach kosher, tzorich l'nanea. How do I know that? Ki hod Rav Amram Chasida. Because Rav Amram Chasida, Roma t'chilta l'prazumet inchi beisi. He once put tzitzis on his wife's beged. Now Rashi says, put tzitzis on his wife's beged. Women are potter from tzitzis. It's a mitzvah saseh shas man garama. So Rashi says that obviously Rav Amram Chasida was of the opinion that women are really chayv in tzitzis, because he held that tzitzis is not only a mitzvah that you're supposed to do during the day, but it's a mitzvah you're supposed to do at night as well. So if you have a mitzvah to do it at night, that means it's not a mitzvah's esesh as man garama. If that's the case, women would be potter. But we're not learning hilchos tzitzis. We're learning the sugya of tasa v'lo mina asli. So Rav Amram Chasida once put tzitzis on his wife's beged, v'lo pasak rashi chutin shalahen. But he didn't snip the rashi chutin. What happened was, so how do you make tzitzis? You take four chutin, you put them through the corner of the baguette, you make a hole, one hole, two holes, but you put it through the corner of the baguette, and like this, your four end up being eight. Additionally, you have to make knots, and you have to roll the tzitzis around a whole bunch of times, and you follow the exact rules of how you're supposed to make tzitzis. Now, when the Torah says there's a mitzvah to make tzitzis, it says, G'dilim tasalach, al arba kanfis ksuscha, ashatachasava. The Torah says, G'dilim tasalach, you should make tzitzis, and the Torah uses the word tasa. So the Gemara assumes that if there's a din of chagasukos tasa, Tassavalim and Asui. So too, there's going to be a loch of Gedilim Tassaloch, where you're going to have a din of Tassa Veloim and Asui. Now, what would be the Tassa Veloim and Asui as it relates to making tzitzit? So we said when it comes to a sukkah, what's Tassa? Putting the schach on top of the sukkah. So when you put the schach on top of the sukkah, at that point, it has to be kosher schach. What would be the Tassa of Gedilim Tassaloch? So it's Gedilim. The Gedilim are, you have to make the knots. That's what it's referring to. That's the thing. That's the Gedilim Tassaloch, which means that at the time you knotted, it already has to be kosher tzitzis. Now, in order for the tzitzis to be kosher, you have to have 8 strings. What happened when Rav Amram Chassidah made the tzitzis on his wife's beged, interestingly enough, but when he made the tzitzis, he had put in one string that was folded over a bunch of times, which meant that it wasn't kosher tzitzis yet, because you would have to snip it first in order to make it kosher, because you have to have 8 strings. But before he snipped it, so before he made it kosher, he made the Gedilim. So he said that he made the Gedilim before he had actually snipped it. As a result, there's a problem, L'chayra of Tassa V'lay Menasai. Because at the time that he did the Gedilim Tassa Lach, at that point it wasn't kosher tzitzis yet. Now what happened? Also, the comment of Rav Chiba Rashi. Went to Rav Chiba Rashi. Amalei, Rav Chiba Rashi told him, Hachi Amar Rav, and what Rav said, Mefaskon V'hink Shem. All you have to do is snip it, and at that point it's going to be kosher. Alma, so what do you see from here? Psikasin Zuhi Yasi Yasin. That there's no Allah of Tzorech Linaneya. So Hachanami, so too as it relates to the sukkah, I want to say the same thing. Ktsisasan, zuyasiyasan, this in and of itself is going to be okay. So just to stop for one second. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef told Rav Huna, that I heard from Rav, that even though the Mishnah says, Hidlo les, I guess it's the last for sakisos, all you have to do is cut it and then it's going to be okay, but tzarech lenane. You have to pick it up and put it back down. Otherwise, you're violating the halacha of Tassa V'lay Menasai. Rav Huna heard this and he took umbrage to what Rav Yosef said. He says, not true. Rav didn't say it. Shmuel said it. Back and forth. A little bit of an exchange. And he said, how do I know that Rav never said this? Because Rav, although he didn't say halacha regarding sukkah, said halacha regarding tzitzis. By tzitzis, you also have the halacha of Tassa V'lay Menasai. Because the same word, chagas, sukkah, tassa halacha, that you have by sukkah, you have gedilim tassa loch. As it relates to tzitzis. And I know a maisa that happened with Rav Amram Chassidah, where he made the gedilim on the tzitzis before it was actually kosher. He went to Rav Chiya Barashi, who was a Talmud of Rav, and he told him over what I heard from Rav, that Rav said, well, you have to do a snippet. Why? What are you snipping? It shouldn't be enough. You should have to make the gedilim all over again. Tzorech l'naneya, because of Tassav Leim and Asri. So you see for me that Rav doesn't hold of Tassav Leim and Asri. In other words, according to Rav Yosef, Rav and Shmuel both hold of Tassa V'lay Menasai. According to Rav Huna, it's really Machlek is Rav and Shmuel. But we have to clarify one thing, the way Rashi learns the Gemara before we go weiter. And that is, Rashi says that Avada, even Rav holds of Tassa V'lay Menasai. Rashi speaks it out clearly. There's no question in the world Rav holds Tassa V'lay Menasai. Rav holds it and Shmuel holds it. Everybody holds Tassav Leim and Asoy. And there's no machloikis in Shas as it relates to the basic principle of Tassav Leim and Asoy, both regarding Sukkah and regarding Tzitzis and even regarding Lulav, as we're going to see on Amud Beis. Everybody holds of the din of Tassav Leim and Asoy. That's not the debate. So what then is the Shaila? Tzarech l'naneya, ain't tzarech l'naneya. Shmuel said, Tassav Leim and Asoy. So you can't just cut the vine and leave it there. You have to pick it up and put it back down, because otherwise it's Tassav Leim and Asoy. Rav, the way Rav Huna understood it, held not that way. He says, no, just cut it and it's going to be okay. The Teretz says, because Rav held, says Rashi, cutting it is in and of itself an asiya. Shmuel held that asiya means physically putting the schach on top of the sukkah. Rav says, no, I just have to do a maisa. So what's the maisa going to be? Snipping it. That in and of itself, cutting it off the ground, detaching it from the ground, that's where I'm mekayim the asiya, and that's fine. Because at the time that I cut it, it became kosher, so I was mekayim tasa v'loy min ha'asri. Now, if that's the case, what is an example of tasa v'loy min ha'asri? So Rashi gives an example. Someone had a haystack, and he's chaytik begadish. And what he did was, he started pushing out some bushels of hay from the haystack, so that he was left with 3 walls, and schach. That's Tassa V'lay Menasai. That's a problem. Because over there, you never did anything to the schach. You didn't cut it off the ground. You didn't put it on top of the schach. All you did was, is you carved out, you removed some hay. So now you created a form of a sukkah. It's like this. You have yourself your sukkah. I did nothing to the schach. Rav holds of the din of Tassa V'lay Menasai, just like Shmuel holds of the din of Tassa V'lay Menasai. It's not open for debate. Everybody holds of the din Tassa V'lay Menasai. The shaila is, does Tassa V'lay Menasai require you to put the schach on the sukkah when it's kosher? Or do a maisa with the schach in order for it to be kosher? And that's what Rav Sheet is. And the same is true as it relates to tzitzis. Being that Rav holds tzitzason, zui asiyasan, cutting the vine is considered an asiyah. So Rav held, even though there's a din Tassa V'lay Menasai regarding tzitzis, so you could put all the tzitzis through, it's okay, but then just snip the edges. And as long as you snip the edges, that's going to be okay. But before we go weiter, just to bring out one point. So the Gemara, as it presented this Shaila, Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, in the halacha of Tasav Lo Menasek, again, not arguing whether we say Tasav Lo Menasek, but the depth of how Tasav Lo Menasek works. So the Gemara said, Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna, and he said over a halacha that Rav said, Tzorech Lenaneya. And Rav Huna told him, Rav didn't say it, Shmuel said it. And then the Gemara says, Rav Yosef turned around and he said, I never said Shmuel didn't say it. I just said Rav said it. Rav Huna says, no. What I meant to say was that only Rav said it, only Shmuel said it, and Rav actually never said it. So regardless, there was this back and forth. So if you know a little bit of the rest of the story, you can appreciate a Gemara like this a little bit better. Number one, we know Rav Yosef forgot his learning. And the Gemara says in many places that Rabbi Yosef would say something and Abaye would tell him that Rebbe, you forgot, you once said it this way, you once said it that way. But the point is, Rabbi Yosef forgot his learning. He was sick, and as a result of the illness that he went through, he forgot a lot of his learning. And that's why there's many Gemaras where people are correcting Rabbi Yosef. That's obviously what's going on here. Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, made the Rav Huna. He said, Rav said it. He said, Rav didn't say it. Shmuel said it. And there's a little bit of a back and forth. But what's even more interesting is the Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef, when he heard what Rav Huna said, so he turned around and he said, I never said Shmuel didn't say it. Maybe Rav said it and Shmuel said it. And Rashi said, Adrinu Rabbi Yosef la'ape bekas. He turned around. He actually got angry. He got Bekas. And this is interesting, because the Gemara says at the very, very end of Masechta Soita, it's the Siyam of Masechta Soita, Mishemes Rebbe Batla Anova. When Rebbe passed away, there was no more Anova. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef said, Loitisni Anova, change the gears in the Mishnah. Don't say when Rebbe died, there was no more Anova, that you can know. Look at me, I'm an Anova. Now, this Gemara is one of the great oxymorons of all time. Rabbi Yosef is saying that, Loitisni Anova, because I'm an Anova. That sounds like the biggest expression of Gaiva that was ever said. So the Mefarshim talk about what Rabbi Yosef meant. But Rabbi Yosef goes down as a great Anova. In fact, the Gemara says in the end of Brachas and the end of Hoirius that Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef, who are Bali plukta throughout Shah, so Rabbi was an Oikaharim and Rav Yosef was a Sinai. Rabbi was a big landman. Rav Yosef was a Sinai. He was a big buckin. There was a Shiloh when they had to appoint the Rosh Hashiva. Should Rabbi be the Rosh Hashiva? Should Rav Yosef be the Rosh Hashiva? And Sholchu Mitam, they sent a letter to Eretz Yisrael. Sinai v'Oikaharim. Which one is Adif? They came back. They said Sinai Adif. But Rav Yosef, because of his Anova, didn't want to become the Rosh Hashiva. And that's why Rabbi ended up being the Rosh Hashiva for 22 years. And that's the Gemara in the end of Brachis. It's also the Gemara in the end of Harius. But Rav Yosef was a Sinai. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that the reason Rabbi Yosef goes down in history as the ultimate Sinai, part is because he was a baki in learning. That's what Sinai means in that Gemara. But part of it is also because he was an Anav. And he was like Har Sinai, which was the smallest of all the mountains. So really, in the personality of Rabbi Yosef was an Anav Mikol Adam. He goes down in Shas as one of the great Anavim. He's Sinai, not just because of his Bekias and Torah, but he's also a Sinai because of his humility, because of the fact that he was a humble person. Here you have a Gemara where Rabbi Yosef reacted to Rav Huna. Rashi adds the word Bekas, not even clear in the Gemara where you see Kas. Adrinu Rabbi Yosef La'ape. So I guess Rashi's teaching that means Bekas, but he turned around and he did it Bekas regardless, as we return to the Gemara. So we have a Machloikis Rav and Shmuel. Again, everybody holds that there's a din of Tasav Lo Menasek. So as it relates to Sukkah, when you place the Schach on the Sukkah, it has to be kosher. As it relates to Tzitzis, when you make the Gedilim, it has to be kosher. Stating that, the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel as it relates to Sukkah is when you say that you're placing the Schach, it has to be kosher. It means physically putting the Schach on, or maybe if you do a Maisa with the Schach, even if you detach it from the ground, not physically putting it on top of the Sukkah, but simply detaching it from the ground, maybe that would be enough. As it relates to Tzitzis, when you say that it has to be Tasav Lo Menasek, it means while you're making the gedilim, it has to be kosher. Or what if when I made the gedilim, it wasn't kosher yet because you didn't have all the strings yet? But later I snipped it. So maybe the snipping it in and of itself is enough of a maisa for it to be okay. That's the machloikis Rav and Shmuel, the way Rav Huna learned. Anyways, according to Shmuel, tzorech linaneya, it's not enough to just do a maisa ketzitza. According to Rav, that would be enough. Fake the Gemara. Is it true that Shmuel holds that you don't say psikasin zui asi yasin, that simply snipping the tzitzis and making strings out of it is not going to be okay? But Shmuel said the name Rabchia. Hittel shnei kronis bevasachas. If somebody took tzitzis and he put it through two corners at the same time, so the tzitzis go into the four corners of the baguette. So what if he took these four long strings and he ran them through two corners, bevasachas, va'achakach pasak roshi chutin shalem, and then he made the gedilim, he did everything, and then at the very end he cut it so that now the tzitzis are going to end up being, they're going to end up hanging from the two corners the way they're supposed to. The halacha is ksheirim. Shmuel said it's kasha. Now why is it kasha? When you made the gedilim, it wasn't kasha yet. it was, the strings were going through two corners at once. Then you snipped it, so each corner had its own strings. So l'chura, how could it be kosher? What happened to tasa v'lo menasa? You tell me because you snipped it. I thought Shmuel holds that's not okay. So the Gemara says, my lav shekosher v'achakach poisek. Isn't it talking about where first you made the gedilim and then you cut him? It says lo shepoisek v'achakach. That's not what happened. What happened was you weren't finished making the tzitzis yet. You first snipped it, and then afterwards you were kosher. But the point is, when you did the kshira, when you made the knot, at that point it was good. If that's really what happened, then what's the chiddush? Like, why are we even saying this? So the Gemara says, "Mal de tema, I would have thought being in kanaf b'shas psil v'leka kamashmon." There's a havamina. You would have thought that maybe you have to put each corner in the individual corner, but that meaning you have tzitzis on the four corners of your baguette, so you have to put them in each individual corner individually. One at a time. But if you're going to do two at a time, maybe that in and of itself is a problem. Kamash Bolan, but Shmuel wasn't getting involved over there of Tasav Olay Menasa, because the case was where first you snipped it, and then afterwards you knotted it. The Chiddush was that you put it into two corners at once somehow. Hilchas Tzitzis, you would have thought that's an issue. Freik the Gemara Meisri, Akasha on Rav, Tolam Volei Pasak, Rosh Echutin Shalem Psul. If somebody put the strings, in this case one string, he folded it over a bunch of times, and he put it through the corner of the baguette. And then he made the knots, and he didn't cut it. Said Allah is psulin. It's going to be possible. My lap psulin loyim. It sounds like it's going to be possible forever. Now, Bishlam, according to Shmuel, it's possible forever. Why? Tasev loyim and also. You'd have to undo it. But according to Rav, all you have to do is snip it, and then it's going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta the Rav. Isn't this a Tiyufta on Rav? Amalucha Rav. Rav's going to tell you, my psulin, psulim ad sheyefsiku. No, it doesn't mean it's possible forever. It just means it's going to be possible until you snip it. Shmuel, Amal Shmuel says, psulin loyim. It's going to be possible forever. Rav and Shmuel, Shitasai. Rav that holds that even though tasev loyim and also, but as long as he do a little mice, so that's already considered okay. So here too, cutting it is going to be fine. It says psulin achi yifsiku until you do a mice. Once you do a mice, it's fine. Shmuel that holds that tasav lemon also means even if you do a mice, it's not going to be okay. Psulin means levchenam alevi. Levi said the same thing that Shmuel said. Psulin levchenam rav masna. Amar Shmuel rav masna said in the name of Shmuel. Psulin loyim. Ikadam risom say amar rav masna. Rav masna said, but did he have a uvda? I had a personal story. Vasoy lekami to my Shmuel, and I came to the Rebbe Shmuel for amar aliyah, and he told him psulin loyim. It's going to be possible forever. Just to pause again for 1 second in the spirit of hashtag rest of the story. And that is, you see from this Gemara that Rav Masna was a Talmud of Shmuel. I'm Rav Masna, but did he have a uvda? I had a personal story. I came to Shmuel for Amali, and he told him that it's a problem of Tasav Leman Asi, and you don't say Psikasan Zui Asi Asan. There's a fascinating Tshuvas HaGaonim. And the Rabbeinu Chananel brings this in the Masechtas Brachos Daf Hei, where the Gemara says, famously, the Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 sons during his lifetime. In fact, he used to walk around with the bone of his 10th son, and he would be Menachem people. He'd give them chizik. If somebody was going through a tzara, Rabbi Yochanan would say, you think that's a tzara? Dein garma dasi ra'abir. This is the bone of my 10th child. And when he did that, he would be Mechazik people. Rabbi Yochanan had an unbelievable gvur. B'chaim Shmalevitz famously said that the Gemara says that when Reish Lakish passed away, so Rabbi Yochanan said, oi chavrusa, oi misusa. Right, he couldn't come to himself because he was missing Reish Lakish. And the Gemara says they davened for Rabbi Yochanan to die. That's how painful it was to him. And Gemara Masechtas Bava Metzia, Perek Asecher Sapayelam. He couldn't come to himself. So Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz said, Rabbi Yochanan, who was such a gibor that he walked around with the bone of his 10th child to be mechazik people, but when he lost Reish Lakish, he couldn't come to himself anymore. That they davened for him literally to die. He poshed, couldn't get out of bed in the morning because he didn't have his Reish Lakish. But that was Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan used to walk around, he'd be mechazik people. He would say, Dein garmet asi roi ber. So Rabbeinu Chananel on the side of the Gemara Masechtas Brachos Daf Hei brings from the Tshuvas HaGaonim that the Gaonim said that Rabbi Yochanan, unbeknownst, had an 11th son. His 11th son's name was Rav Masna. And after his 10th son passed away, Rabbi Yochanan sent his 11th son to go learn by Shmuel. And he became a Talmud of Shmuel. So Rav Masna, who was a Talmud of Shmuel, was the 11th son of Rabbi Yochanan. So I once saw that, why did he send him away? What was the cheshbon? So Rabbi Yochanan felt that there was something about the mazel of his children, that Rabbi Yochanan couldn't have sons. He lost 10 sons. So obviously there was something going on. And he felt in the Olam something was happening. So Rabbi Yochanan had an Eitzah. His Eitzah was, let me send my son Rav Masna to learn by Shmuel. Kol HaMelamed is Ben Chaveri Torah. Mala Olav Akasov Kilu Yaldoi. So this Rav Masna is Rav Yochanan's son, but now he's going to be Shmuel's son. And when he's Shmuel's son, he's going to take on the mazel of Shmuel's son. And if that's the case, maybe that's going to change his mazel. Now that's why he ended up sending him. But either way, this is a Gemara, where the Gemara says, Amar Rav Masna, b'didi ava uvdo v'asoy l'kameh demar Shmuel. Rav Masna being a Talmud of Shmuel, that's the rest of the story. Just one other interesting thing on the topic of Rav Masna, and that is that the Gemara says in Masechtas Erevin, it's also Gemara Masechtas Nedarim, Mai dechsiv mi midbar matana u mi matana nachlia. So it's a pasuk in Parshas Chukas. Amar Rav Masna, if a person makes himself like a midbar, if a person makes himself humble like a midbar, he makes himself hefker like a midbar, noisn loy teirev a matana, mi midbar matana. And when a person gets tired by matana, nachliel, nachloikel, he doesn't forget his learning. Like the Chasam Sofer says, because birchas Hashem hi ta'asher v'lo yosef etzavimah. When the Eibishter gives a person a matana, lo yosef etzavimah, you're never going to lose it. Yivarechacha Hashem, Rashi says, v'yishmerecha, comes with a shmira. It's something that you're always going to have. So mi midbar matana. If a person makes himself like a midbar, he gets the tired by matana. Umi matana nachliel. This is a very well-known maimer chazal. Who said it? Rav Masna said it. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Emes LeYaakov and Masechtas Erevin, on that Gemara, Daf Nun Gimel, so Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that he thinks that it could be that based on this Gemara, we have insight into perhaps an error people have made for many, many years. And that is, we pronounce Rav Masna as Rav Masna. So Rabbi Yaakov says, Libi Oymeli, that Rav Masna's name wasn't really Rav Masna. It was Rav Matana. He says, why would I say that? He says, because we know that there are many Amoyron that got names, almost nicknames, based on a Maimer Chazal that they had, Rabbi Yitzchak Migdala. There's different examples of this, where you find like an Amoyron would say something, and the thing that he was talking about is very similar to his name. It's almost eerie. The Teretzes and the Mefarshim say this in different places. Martzchias talks about this, and others, that sometimes different Amoyron got their name based on something that they said. So Rabbi Yaakov said, it's Gans Mestaber. This Maimer Chazal, Mi Midbar if Rav Masna said it, who knows if Rav Masna didn't really get his name based on the fact that he said this famous chazal of Umi Midbar Matana with such ramifications that you want the Eibishter to give you Torah b'Matana. This is the way you get Torah b'Matana. So he said, could be the name of the Amoira, Rav Masna, wasn't Rav Masna, it was Rav Matana, based on the drasha of Umi Midbar Matana. But we digress. The point is, again, we're discussing the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel as it relates to Tasa V'loy Mina Asoy, both in the context of Sukkah, Chagas Sukkah, Tasa L'cha, and in the context of Tzitzis, Gedilim, Tasa L'ch. Everyone agrees Tasa V'loy Mina Asoy. At the time that you make or complete making the Sukkah, complete making the Tzitzis, it has to be kosher. The question is, how do you define making the sukkah? How do you define making the tzitzis? So as it relates to sukkah, the machlokes is if somebody would put the schach on top of the sukkah, but it's still possible. Hidlo les hagefen, it's still attached to the ground. Snipping it, is that enough to make a tasav leim mina asoy? Or is that not enough to make a tasav leim mina asoy? Or, in the case of tzitzis, if somebody would run the tzitzis through the baguette, and then he would make the knots, but he wouldn't snip it. He doesn't have eight strings yet. Snipping it, would that be enough to satisfy Tasav Olay Min HaAsoy? Or would that not be enough to satisfy Tasav Olay Min HaAsoy? What we have over here is a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel is the Machmer. Rav is the one that's Mekel. Zok de Gemara. Mesevei. Another Kasha. Tolem V'achakach. If somebody would take the strings, put them through the corner of the baguette, and afterwards he would snip the strings, so the halacha is psulin, it would be possible. This is Mefurish, right? You see clearly, like Shmuel, not like Rav. Tolem V'achakach Pasak is possible, meaning it's a problem of Tasav Leim and Asi. What do you mean? Psikoson, you snipped it. Yeah, but that in and of itself is not going to be okay. Vaitanya, another kasha, Gabi Sukh, Baisukh, Tasav Leim and Asi, Mikan Amru. From there, we learned Hidolas, like Efen Vesat, Las Vesakisos, Vesikachagam, Bumpsula, and if you put Schach on top, it's going to be possible. Hechidam, Ilem, Bishle, Kitsitson, this halacha. Is it talking about where you didn't cut it? My Uriam Shum Tasav Leim and Asi, Tabele, the Mukhubar Nenu. Right, if you put the last Kisos and everything else, and of course it's going to be possible. Elevacha Kitsitson, must be it's talking about where you cut it, Victani Psula, and still you see it's possible. Yasin, so Yasi Yasin. The Tufta the Rav, and this is a Tufta the Rav, because you see that snipping it in and of itself is not going to be okay. So the Gemara says, as it relates to the second question, Amalach Rav, Rav can tell you, Hachab and Mayaskinon, maybe it's talking about the Shalfinu Shlufi. Really, it's talking about where you cut it, that's true. However, you didn't cut it using a sakin. You cut it using your hand. You rip the geffen out of the ground. The loy minkara siya didu. It's not so nicker that it's detached from the ground. And it's for that reason that it's going to be possible. Meaning, loyvam, I'll tell you that if you cut it, Rav holds, it's going to be kosher. Because ktsitsasun zuyasiyasun. Ay, why in this case is it a problem? Because it's talking about a case where you cut it in a way it doesn't look like it was cut. It looks like it's attached. It's a new reason why it's possible. It's partial, possible, because it looks like it's attached. Okay, so we just answered the second question, right? The mesve was two kashas. One from tzitzis. So we answered the second kasha, but what about the first question? We didn't answer that, and the Gemara says kasha, which means there is a teretz. The Gemara didn't want to say it for whatever reason. It's a little dachog, but there is a teretz. In contrast to tyufta, which is checkmate, which means there really is no teretz. Zok to Gemara. Perhaps this machloikis Rav and Shmuel is really a machloikis tanoi. Ovar velikton. Puzzle. Divrei Reb Shimon Bar Yehoi Tzadok. V'chachamim Machshir. So this braisa is discussing not Hilchas Sukkah, not Hilchas Tzitzis, but it's discussing Hilchas Dalad Minim. So we're talking about someone that had his Dalad Minim. He took his Lulav, Hadas Arava, he wrapped them all together, he has his Esrig, and it's Yontif, that's what Rashi says, and he wants to take his Dalad Minim. But he looked at his Hadassim, and he realized his Hadassim apostle. And the reason they were apostle is because the Hadassim had more berries than leaves. That's halacha. It's a chasarin in Hadar. And if it has more berries than leaves, more anovim than alim, the halacha is it's going to be apostle. Now, really, if it's yontif, there's nothing to do anymore. Because you're not allowed to make a hadas that's apostle kosher on yontif, because it's masakamana. It's makabapatish, maybe only the rabbanon, but it's for sure something that you're not allowed to do. But this person did it anyways. That's why the lashon is avar velikton. Whenever you see avar, it means the person did something he wasn't supposed to do. Avar velikton, he went ahead and he ripped off the berries on sukkis. Halachas it's possible. It's going to be a problem. As I held Rabbi Shimon bar Yehoi Tzadok, chamim say it's going to be kosher. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out now what are they arguing about? I mean, what's the machloikis? We have a machloikis that you took the berries off, it's kosher, it's possible, what's the shayla? Sivaru. So Yomar makes two anachas. We think, the kuliyam, everybody holds lulav tzarech eged. Everybody holds lulav tzarech eged, meaning the lulav, the hadas, and the arava, they have to be round, they have to be bound together, tied together, the way we do it. Additionally, v'yalfina lulav misukkah, everybody probably holds that we learn lulav from sukkah. What does that mean? Dechsiv gabi sukkah, it says by sukkah tasav alayman asu. So too, by lulav, you're going to have the same din of tasav alayman asu. Now, what's the tasa? What's the asiyah by lulav? Being ma'agid, the three minim together. So, if there's a din of tasa lemon also by sukkah, which means that when you make the sukkah, it has to already be kosher. So, too, when it comes to the lulav, when you are ma'agid the lulav, it has to be kosher. So, the Gemara says, if that's the case, at first glance, right, let's just starting the thought process, at first glance, this is a little bit of a tricky situation then. Because you have your lulav, your hadas and narava, they were already tied together. The hadas was pasul. Now you ripped the berry off, and now you made a kosher. So if there's a halach of tasav lemon also, maybe that's not good. Because you need that peshas you did the eged, it should be kosher. But once you rip it off, it should be pasul. But then again, according to Rav, that holds ktsisason zui asiyasan, that even though tasav lemon also by sukkah should be, you don't have to put the schach on the sukkah when it's kosher. Just cutting it off the ground, that is enough of a maisa to satisfy the requirement of tasav lemon also. Snipping the edges of the tzitzis is enough to satisfy the requirement. So maybe taking the berries off the hadas is also enough to satisfy the criteria of tasav lemon asay. Meaning, even though you think of the mitzvah being ma'agid the lulav as tying it around, that's true. But maybe taking off a berry is good as well. Just like you think of the sukkah as putting the schach on top of the sukkah, but cutting it off the ground is good. So says the Gemara, maybe that is good for the machloikis over the man, the machsher, the chachobim, that snake kosher, sovereign, meaning gabi sukkah, ksisasin, zui asiyasin. Meaning it's true, lulav tzarech eget. There's a maisa, maaga that you have to do. And it's true, tasav lemon asoy. But ripping off the berries is good. It's no different than cutting the vine off the ground. The gabi lulav nami amir, the katan zui asiyasin. plucking the berry is going to be good. Well, man, the pasul, the one that says pasul, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai Tzadok, he tzavar, he holds le'am minangabi, sukka k'tzisas and zuyas yasam. He holds by sukka, you don't say k'tzisas and zuyas yasam. And if that's the case, kabul of nami le'am minangabi, k'tzisas and zuyas yasam. So in other words, says the Gemara, it seemed that maybe the machloikis Rav and Shmuel is this machloikis tanam. We have a machloikis tanam, we don't know what the machloikis is. So maybe this is the machloikis Rav and Shmuel. Says, ok, the Gemara, le'am k'tanoi. Should we assume that the machloikis Rav and Shmuel is really machloikis tanam? And the Gemara says, lie. What do you mean, lie? Because this whole assumption that we made that this machlokes tanam is totally the machlokes Rav and Shmuel was based on two premises. And really, if you knock out any one of those, you have a whole different way to understand it. Meaning, the Kulei Alma, maybe I'll tell you, maybe everybody holds like Shmuel that there's no such thing as Ktzisas and Zuyas Yasa. What's the machlokes over here? Machlokes is, should we learn Lulav from Sukkah? Is there a din? Tasav Leiman Asi. Man, the Machshel one, the whole discussion of Leiman and Sukkah Midulav. There's no halach of Tasav Leiman Asi. Meaning, if there was a din of Tasav Leiman Asi, you wouldn't be able to just rip off the berries. But there is no din of Tasav Leiman Asi, and that's why it's not about Man, the Pasav one that says it's Pasav Savi Yelfin Lulav Mizukah. You do learn Lulav Mizukah, just like Sukkah, there's a din of Tasav Leiman Asi. So by Lulav, there's also a din of Tasav Leiman Asi. Meaning, maybe the Machlokes says Hagufa, where there's a din of Tasav Leiman Asi. Vibay Yosema, Isfir Lulav Lulav Tzarech Eged. If you hold Lulav is Tzarech Eged, that you have to be Magid the Sukkah, maybe Kuliyam Lulav Yelfin Lulav Mizukah. I would say, perhaps, that everybody holds you learn from Sukkah. And just like there's a dintasav leiman asa by Sukkah, there'd be a dintasav leiman asa by Lulav. Here the machlokes is, marasav tzarech eged, marasav ein tzarech eged. The machlokes is gufa, whether you have to be ma'agadus or Lulav. Ubeplukta dani tanoi, and there's a precedent for that. Because that's already machlokes tanam. Tanya, we learned to the Brisa, a Lulav bein agud bein she'enoi agud kosher. Doesn't matter if it's tired, it's not tired, it's kosher either way. Rabbi Yehuda, oimer, agud kosher she'enoi agud pasel. It has to be tied. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds Lulav tzarech eged. Says the Gemara, my time in the Rabbi Yehuda. What's the Makar to Rabbi Yehuda that holds Lulav Tzarech Eged? Yalof Lekicha Lekicha Me'agudas Ezev. He learns a Lekicha Lekicha from Agudas Ezev. Ksif Hasim, it says over there, Lekachtam Lechem Agudas Ezev. Now, where's there? So there is Parashas Boy. It's talking about the special carbon Pesach the Yidden brought when they were in Mitzrayim. And it says, Lekachtam Agudas Ezev. They had to take grass, they had to dip it into the dam of the carbon Pesach, and they had to put it on the mezuzahs. But the Ezev that they took had to be wrapped together. Akigudas Ezev. And it says the word, Ulakachtem Agudas Ezev. The Ksiv Hach, it says regarding the Dalad Minam, Ulakachtem Lechem B'yem Erisha. So, Ma'alam Aguda, Afkan Baguda. Just like over there it was Aguda, so too here also, Afkan Nami, right here also it has to be Baguda. Rabbanon, the Rabbanon, Lekicham, Lekicham, Le'elfino. They don't hold of this Joshua, Lekicham, Lekicham. So, we mentioned the Machloikis Lol of Tzarech Eged before we recap. So, the Gemara just says, parenthetically, Keman Ozel Hadatanya, who is the author of the following price? Lulav mitzvah la'agdai. There's a mitzvah to do aged, v'imlai agdai kasher. And if you don't do it, it's okay. Meaning, we just said it's machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether lulav tzarech eged, lulav ein tzarech eged. Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, we learn it from ulakachtem agudas ezav. The Chachamim said, nah. But here we have a braisa that seems to be in between. It's like a kasav ashlishi hamachriya beinayim. It's mediating between these two shitas. Lekatchila, abenish b'diyavid. The Gemara says, who is this third shita? Rabbi Yehuda. If it's Rabbi Yehuda, kilo yagde, am I kosher? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's possible. Rabbi Yehuda said it has to have eged. So, this for sure can't be Rabbi Yehuda. And if it's the Rabbanon, and if it's going according to the Rabbanon, mitzvah, then why is it am I mitzvah? Why is it a mitzvah? Rabbanon hold you don't need eged. So the Gemara says, Loilam Rabbanon, he really is going according to the Rabbanon. And Rabbanon hold you don't need eged, meaning there's no drasha that teaches me you have to wrap it together. Abu Mishum Shanamah, because it says, Zek Heli Ve'anveyu, it says it's an Indian of Hidr mitzvahs, not Lafan of a mitzvahs. It's a Hidr to do it that way, but really it's not something that you have to do. In other words, the Gemara thought that this machloikis, Rab Shimon Bar Yochai Tzadik and the Chachamim, regarding Dalad Minim or the Gimel Minim, the Lulav, the Hadas and Darava that were wrapped together, it was Yontif, you had too many Anovim on the Hadas, and as a result, it's possible. You are not allowed to take it off because it's Masakim, but you did it anyway. So now is it going to be kosher? Is it going to be possible? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Tzadik said it's going to be a problem. The Chum of Machshirim, the Chum said it's going to be kosher. So the question is, what was the Machloikis? So really, the Gemara thought that maybe the Machloikis is the Machloikis Rav and Shmuel. But what comes out of Maskana is that there are really three different pshatim in terms of what the Machloikis might be. Either the Machloikis is the Machloikis Rav and Shmuel in the world of Tasav Leiman Asoy, whether we say just doing a little Maisa, that in and of itself satisfies the criteria of Tasav Leiman Asoy, or maybe they're arguing whether there's Bechlal Adin of Tasav Leiman Asoy when it comes to lulav, or they're arguing whether there's even a halacha that lulav is sarach eged or ain't sarach eged, which by the way is already a machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. But in short, sukkah daf yud aleph is really the makar to the sugya of tasa v'loim and asoy. Everybody holds of tasa v'loim and asoy. It's primarily with regards to Hilchas Sukkah, Hilchas Tzitzis, another similarity between Sukkah and Tzitzis, but it's Negeya Hilchas Sukkah, Negeya Hilchas Tzitzis, could be it's also Negeya Hilchas Dalad Minim as well. I was discussing the Gemara. Additionally, as it relates to the depth of how far Tasa V'Lei Mina Asu goes, we saw Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, and that is today's daf.